It's Monday, July, June the 30th.
Almost.
And you're listening to the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Blavin.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world. This week's episode is the big Transformers review.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah?
I get it.
You get it? Cool. And then, of course, Picks of the Week and our personal stuff to follow shortly after that. Anthony, how you been doing this week?
I've been doing good.
Yeah, are you sure?
Yeah.
Sure about that? Eating that chocolate chip cookie?
It's a really good cookie.
Yeah?
I don't have junk food in my house, so this is great.
It's a treat. Blavin, how's the junk food treat been treating you?
Awful. I'm trying to avoid it, and it's just awful. Chips are so good. I want to eat more chips.
So is that how we can describe your week?
Yes.
Okay.
I want cheat foods.
Yeah, I know what that's like. I had a cheat week.
Oh. A what?
A cheat week.
That's
let me tell you about it. I had so much junk food this past week.
That's not good, man.
It was delicious.
Cheat week is bad.
I've been having like a cheat life.
Oh yeah.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Like I think yesterday my dinner consisted of a pack of Sour Patch Kids.
Wait. You saw the movie last night. That's what you had for dinner?
Yeah, before I came, I was eating Sour Patch Kids, and I realized that because I had none left. It was none left over from the Tiger and Bunny movie.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't finish them all there, and then I ate them at home, and I was like, oh, no, I'm out of Sour Patch Kids for Transformers. Oh, well.
And then you just decided not to eat after
that? Yeah, I had Sour Patch Kids dinner.
Well, that's something.
That's awful.
That's terrible.
Ugh, it's so hard to not eat unhealthy. And it's so boring. I get hungry so fast.
Yeah.
I would pack a salad and some stir fry, finish it when I get into work, and then realize that I still have to be there for another 5 hours.
You just gotta throw a chocolate bar and all that.
No!
Just chuck a No Henry bar in that stir fry.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear.
Cheat week. That sets back quite a bit.
Yeah, I had some pretty good Cheetos.
Cheetos?
Yeah. Chocolate bar.
What chocolate bar?
Coffee crisp.
Okay. It's respectable.
Wonder bar. Love Wonder bar. Yeah. And then a whole bunch of ice cream. But yeah, that's been my life. Oh, and I fell off my bike.
What?
In the middle of an intersection.
How's that?
What?
But like dead smack in the middle. Let's make it a left turn. And I don't know why, but the middle of the intersection was, like, all sandy and dusty.
Someone drives there, man.
And, like, okay, I didn't stop at the intersection. Like, the lights turned green, so I was just going to go for it. I guess I carried too much speed in my back wheel. I don't know. My bike tires are bald, basically, so there's no grip on them. So I just took it a bit too fast. And then the back slid out, and I was like, oh, here we go.
Well, I'm dead.
Here we go. So that was a bit of a shocker.
Were there cars there?
Oh, yeah.
You almost get run over?
No.
Have you ever been run over on your bike? Have you ever got hit by a car?
I've been hit by a car, but not like high speed impact.
Okay.
Like I was coming down a sidewalk and a cab came out from a mall exit.
Yeah.
And just hit me.
That's kind of exactly what happened to me too.
Yeah. I was pretty pissed.
My bike was busted.
My bike was fine. I should have reported it, but whatever.
The guy who hit me, I knew him from high school.
Yeah.
And he gave me $70.
It's more than I got. I just got a broken ego.
Yeah, no, he was like, here, man, I'll give you like $20. I'm like, what's in your wallet? He's like, 70. I'm like, give me that.
Wow. Extortion over here.
Well, it's either that or I call your insurance and you have to pay a buttload of money for hitting a person.
Wow.
Snap. So you suckers just gotta use your feet. Just run.
That's even worse.
What?
Because when you're running,
I can stop.
No, but like it doesn't matter. The way like I got hit was that you know how when you come out of an exit from a parking lot, sometimes there's plants or trees right at the sides.
Right.
So it's always blind.
Okay.
So you can't see. And cars can't see either. They can't see down the sidewalk. So sometimes people just rush out. And if you're running, perfect timing, you're gonna get hit.
And like there's a chance of going under the car on your feet. Like I got thrown off my bike.
Well,
so
that's funny.
Oh, my back wheel got clipped into his bumper because his bumper was already broken.
Yeah.
So it kind of just dragged me.
Yo, that sucks!
Yeah.
Hot.
So I was like, what the fuck? Anyways, enough of that. Let's get into the big review. Transformers Age of Extinction.
Yep.
the fourth in Michael Bay transforming robot installment. Brand new cast starring Mark Wahlberg, Nicola Peltz, Stanley Tucci, Frasier, and...
Oh, Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, oh, that's his name, Kelsey Grammer. And some other people. Oh, and Li Bingbing from China.
Yeah.
Is that her name?
Yeah, her name is Li Bingbing.
What? I didn't say it was funny, I'm just wondering if that's her name. I'm not laughing at it, you racist.
I don't care, man. It's a pretty funny name.
She's got two search engines.
This time around, Transformers are cast as the bad dudes because they destroyed New York, or Chicago.
Chicago.
And the CIA are hunting them down. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, there's this bro named Lockdown, spacefaring bounty hunter, who's tasked with capturing Optimus Prime. Mm-hmm. The humans have also decided to build their own Transformers to combat the Autobots. There's enough story beats here to confuse you, and I won't tell you how it ends, but expect us to spoil this movie. Mm-hmm. So, Anthony, what did you think about Transformers, AOE, Rise of the Dinobots?
Rise of the Dinobots. I thought this movie was forgettable. Mm-hmm. Like, it. You guys, you'll get to it, but you guys hate that movie. Like, I thought it was bad, but I thought it was like, I came in expecting explosions, and I got explosions for just a bit too long, and I think I overhyped Mark Wahlberg, like, in my mind, mm-hmm. and then when he delivered, it wasn't as good as I thought it would be.
Yes.
But, like, I thought the movie was whatever, like, it was completely forgettable. Yeah, like, if you're gonna go see the movie, don't see it on, like, a full price day, see it on, like, a Tuesday, or maybe wait till it's, like, all the way to DVD or something. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was just, every time there was a break in fight scenes, I kind of zoned out a little, because the story's so bad.
Yeah.
That I just didn't care, like, and it's pretty much the exact same story beats as the Shia LaBeouf movies and his girl, so. Except this time they don't have a separate family. It's like they're the family.
Yes.
Right. But yeah, other than that, I thought the action scenes were fun. There were just too many. Like, the movie was could have used, like, they could have cut out, like, an action scene and a story sequence and made that movie, like, 2 hours, and then it would have been fine.
I see.
I would have liked it a little bit more, but I thought it was like it's still not a good movie. Mm-hmm. It's just I just came for action and I got it, so it was fine.
So would you say it's like Pacific Rim?
I think Pacific Rim is way better.
Okay.
Than this movie.
All right.
Like leaps and bounds. Like okay. That is the right way to do a robot movie.
Okay. Blavin, I heard you like this movie.
No, this movie is awful. When I left the theater,
yeah,
I was wondering if I was going to be the minority. Or if I was jaded, or if I was just being a hater.
Yeah.
But this movie was unanimously bad.
Oh.
I mean, all they did in the movie was do a chase,
yeah.
Fight, do another chase, fight, do another chase, fight, chase, fight, chase, fight. And I think there's another chase fight. I'm being
what
serious.
What was there a chase fight?
Exactly. So it's all the same thing for 3 hours. And people will say, man, just go in expecting nothing and you'll come out surprised. But, man, these Transformer fights were super boring. It's the same thing over and over again. It's just guys rolling, shooting, rolling, shooting, rolling, shooting, throwing a grenade, rolling, shooting.
While chase fighting.
It's not even that sort of... There's nothing unique about it. It's just the same thing over and over again for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And you can't sometimes even tell what's going on because the visuals are so messy. So one time I thought somebody ripped off somebody's arm, but it was their head. I just didn't know what was going on. Who was ripping off who? And the battles, some people get shot so bad they're about to die, but then they drive off fine. After the Lambo shot Optimus twice in the chest, mm-hmm. he was still fine after when he was being hung upside down.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Did he repair himself?
I don't know.
I don't understand. Did the Lambo repair him?
He's got nanobots.
The Dinobots were in it for a total of half an hour. We know because my friend counted.
Yes.
How long it was they were there. Mm-hmm. And even then, they didn't do anything.
Oh.
They had one sweet scene. And then after that, they were kind of akin to lost puppies. They were being sucked up by this magnet, and they were just sprawling all over the place, right?
Yeah,
that was they were trying to not get sucked back in.
I kind of equated the Dinobots to like MMO mounts.
Yeah,
like they were just there so that they can travel faster.
Yeah,
and occasionally do some cool biting things.
Yeah. The cast was okay. I mean, Katara's in it.
Yes,
the girl from Avatar. The live-action movie that's celebrated.
Uh-huh.
She's Nicola Pelt.
Something. Celebrated or something.
She's in this, and I must say that she is a fine specimen of a young woman.
Yeah, she's cute, but she doesn't hit me. She just doesn't hit me. The way that Megan Fox hit me. In the first movie.
I thought you were going to say the way that Mark Wahlberg hit you.
You know what? Mark Wahlberg, for me, was probably the biggest disappointment of this film.
Yeah, we had high hopes.
Yeah.
We thought that he would save this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He had, like, two or three good lines,
yeah.
And one of them was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So
close.
A lot of people who I've talked to bash on me saying that I'm a hater, or that
hater
I was expecting, or is expecting too much out of this movie.
Okay.
But I believe that even if you wanted what this movie gave you, it gave you it for way too long.
Mm-hmm.
It was 3 hours, too much of a good thing.
Kind of.
They literally could have cut out all the middle, and did the beginning and the end, and it would have been the same movie.
Interesting. I think they could have cut out China.
Yeah, okay. What, they could have cut out a third of the movie, at least.
Yeah, somewhere they could have cut out a third.
They could have cut out quite a lot. And the bad guys are so weird. The villains starts as the Lamborghini, then turns into Galvatron, then turns back into the Lamborghini, and then it turns into the two human antagonists, but then one of the human antagonists gets a conscience and turns out to be the good guy for the last third of the movie.
Yeah, for a movie about giant robots fighting giant robots, there is way too many complex storylines in this movie.
Right, here. He gets a conscience somewhere along the line, right?
Yeah.
And it happens in a span of minutes.
Yes.
One phone call from Mark Wahlberg changes the man's mind, right?
Yeah. You're an inventor like me, so...
Oh, man,
yeah.
Really?
Oh, wait, you're an inventor
so
too?
What you're saying is that all the research I've done for the past X amount of years. All right, cool. I got it.
Sick, you got thin-rimmed glasses and a lot of muscles. Let's do this.
Yeah, this movie was bad. All right, it did what Transformers movies always did for me, though. It made me want a new car.
Yeah.
The car that I would want is the Lambo.
Yeah.
It looks cool.
I think that's the only car people would actually want from the movie.
Or the guy that can change, the Bugatti you can change to a helicopter. Does it do that? Does a stock model do that? I want that.
Before we get to Vince, you would want
the
Lamborghini. What car would you want, Vince?
I don't know. I'd probably have to go with the Lambo.
I want the Pagani.
The Stinger?
Stinger.
Yeah, the red Pagani. That car was so nice.
Yeah, it was pretty
sweet. Nah, I'd go with the Lambo.
There's like the quad exhaust in the back.
Quad exhaust?
Yeah.
Lols.
Doesn't matter, man. Doesn't matter.
This car's so nice.
Yeah, so Transformers. I thought this movie was absolutely horrendous.
What?
Yay!
No, there are so many problems with this film. And I was expecting a dumb movie to begin with.
Mm.
But I was expecting it to be dumb, but self-aware. Like, we're four movies in at this point. We know the quality of the Transformers films isn't very high. Let's just make fun of ourselves. But the problem is, all these people think they are in the best movie ever created with explosions. And it just isn't that. Mark Wahlberg, I don't know what he is, but he's some sort of engineer slash jock who has somehow not
right?
had a successful life in either direction.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you can be that.
He caught that happy medium and was like, movies. That's it. That's what's for me.
No. He's meaning in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the movie. Like, his character.
He's half jock because he was on the varsity
team. Yeah.
And he was also an inventor.
And he's
half... Because he had the football.
Yeah,
right?
How did he have such a poor life?
Like, it seemed like he had everything.
Yeah, are they trying to say that his daughter ruined his life?
Yes.
But
teenage pregnancy ruins lives.
And then his defining character feature is, girl, you can't date anyone. That is his only motivation through the movie.
Overprotective dad.
No, but that is his only motivation. Like, he has no other reason to be doing any of the shit he has other than, I gotta protect you for the rest of time.
I don't know. He seemed to want to help out those robots.
No, he doesn't. He just doesn't want his daughter to get hurt.
The flashback scenes, Anthony, were of her getting shot, almost getting shot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like...
He did say, they're gonna come after her unless we stop them.
That's... Like, the only reason he went to help the Autobots is because, by happenstance, she got captured with Optimus.
Oh, yeah. And if he doesn't stop Cemetery Wind, they just kill him again.
And that's it.
I thought that was a dumb name for a group.
Oh,
Cemetery
yeah.
Wind.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even catch that, but that sounds dumb.
Yeah, that was really Fraser's dumb. Group, Cemetery Wind.
Okay, like I said, there's too many conflicting storylines, and they all converge at the very end of the movie and just kind of explode.
Again, with the explosions.
Almost none of them are resolved, except for the Lockdown one. But
Lockdown?
He's the one with the gun face.
He's resolved?
Yeah,
he gets killed.
He gets dead.
Oh, that's his name?
His name's Lockdown.
He had a name?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I would have been referring to him by his name if I knew.
His name is Lockdown.
When did they say that?
They never do.
I'm sure they did.
No, they don't. I only
know it because of him.
I only know it because I know who this character is supposed to be.
Whoa.
No.
Oh, whoa.
And I will say, Lockdown is my favorite part of the movie because he comes from Transformers Animated, and his character is spot on. Like,
yeah.
he's a bounty hunter who collects trophy, either robots or parts from others. And I thought that was cool, but it doesn't save the movie. The Autobots are not heroes, they are psychopaths. And Optimus has this fascination with just killing people.
We must kill them
His
all.
Only line in this movie is, I will kill you. Or, I will kill you. Or, I will kill you.
Like, he does have a bloodlust about him.
And
he seems totally different from the original Optimus. The old Optimus would never say anything like that.
I don't know if they're trying to do like this subtle sort of beaten-down, war-torn soldier type thing.
Maybe.
But I just don't think Michael Bay's actively trying to do that. I think that he genuinely believes this is what a hero is. And I just don't think that. Also, why is he so noble and yet he's like leading like this band of like members who are just, I don't know, they just feel like a random bunch of boys.
And they seem to want to overthrow him at any.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Full of star screens.
I don't get it. The movie has an insane amount of product placement.
Oh man,
so much product placement.
Tell me more.
Remember when that bus blew up and it had the Victoria's Secret logo on it
in the middle of the screen?
Anthony, come on.
I'll go through all of them. Don't worry.
No, whoa, listen, Anthony. The most famous one is bro. I just got picked up by Red Bull.
Yeah, and he pulled it over. And it was at the beginning of the movie. I'm like, I cannot believe that. The next one was there was a robot that was made out of an Oreo truck. And it just became the Oreo robot.
Oh, yeah.
There was some sort of, I believe, Chinese celebrity wearing Gucci glasses. And the scene starts out with the frame fully on the side of
oh,
the
yes,
thing
yes,
that
yes,
says Gucci.
Yes.
Oh, I remember that.
I remember
You don't remember he's playing the guitar? The acoustic guitar
in the car. I don't remember the Gucci glasses. I remember the guitar.
It was quite large.
Oh,
it's
okay.
For a good second, it's just Gucci on the screen.
When the guy
was drinking the milk, the box was fully spot on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Chinese milk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. There was the whole scene with the Bud Light.
Oh,
and then he hits the Bud Light truck. They're all the new cans, or the new bottles. And then they're all over the floor, and he opens one up perfectly with the logo in front.
the amount of product placement in this movie is ridiculous.
I wonder how much of the cost that covered.
All.
Why do you think we got so many robot fights? And why do you think this movie was so long? I don't know. It just was not a very good movie. And then there's just a bunch of unanswered questions like, hey, Optimus, I didn't know he had jetpacks. Me neither. Boom, go to space. The Dinobots seemingly came out of nowhere. They're just kind of like, apparently they've just been here, and Optimus was like, well, all right, I guess it's time, might as well.
They were in the thing, because the ship they took from the bigger ship was the trophy room. They were in the trophy room.
I know, but why didn't he just do it earlier on?
No.
He didn't think he needed them.
He'd have a sick-ass sword from the Table of Swords.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't find a lot of I didn't find a lot of the intended comedy to be funny. It's all... I found myself laughing when Mark Wahlberg was supposed to have a serious scene, and I was just looking at his face, and I'm like, you look hilarious.
I don't think his face fits those glasses he had.
Yeah, I don't know why he was wearing that.
He's a dork, man.
I thought the beginning of the movie, there was a really surprisingly dark moment where the comedic character just gets killed off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah. He gets turned into Transformium.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is a mess. I don't know what to tell you. This movie's terrible.
Yeah, the people who have been actively against me.
Yeah.
Are the type that's kind of, you know, bro, that was a sick movie, man. Did you see that one car? And you, like, blew up that other guy's face, bro? Like, it was so sick, right?
Are you saying that only dumb people like this movie?
I am not saying that, but I am almost
I'm implying it.
Come on.
Viciously.
Like, anybody who wants to go to a theater and watch a movie, you want at least a little something more than just this.
Yep. Like... Don't get me wrong, I will say, as an audio-visual experience, it's fantastic.
I'm glad I saw it with that AVX sound.
The Dolby Atmos?
Yeah,
yeah, cool. The 360 sound and the bass, phenomenal stuff. Even the 3D visuals are cool, but it's not worth 3 hours.
Like,
of
even
your time.
As a kid, you would be a little desensitized by the end of it, right?
Yeah, the thing is, for all the cool visuals, I don't think it tops the previous movie.
Yeah, it's like, the same.
Yeah.
It's the same, but an hour longer.
Yeah.
It's so long.
I really do want to see someone else tackle this franchise, but I think...
Michael Bay's got on lock.
Yeah, Michael Bay's committed to another 3 movies, so here we go.
As long as it keeps making money.
And that's a sad thing, too. Like, we all saw it opening weekend. Right?
We're part of the problem.
Yeah,
that's
so
the thing.
We are, like, part of this problem. Like... We are proof that no matter how bad, we will be there.
But we're there because we hope that this one won't be as bad.
No, I don't think we... I don't think
we
any,
have to be there.
No, I don't think any of us hoped it wouldn't be any as bad. I think we all walked in being like, if this is good, then it'll be a welcome surprise. But we are expecting something atrocious.
Yeah. All right.
All right, let's rate it, Anthony. Give us your forgettable rating.
Does our scale go down to 0?
It can if you wanted to.
I'll give it a 1.
Okay.
0.
I give it a 0.
This is the worst. It's literally the worst.
It's the worst movie I've seen since Batman and Robin.
What?
Whoa, okay.
Whoa, hey,
that's,
hey.
Whoa. We're going to pause right now because this is too much.
That was a good movie.
Okay, we're back.
that was the one with Mr. Freeze?
No.
Wait, was that the one with bat nipples?
I think that was the
one. Yeah, yeah.
Well, with Poison Ivy, and Robin kisses him with plastic lips.
Yeah, yeah, and the Batgirl's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was the Mr. Freeze one.
Oh, yeah.
Together.
But then the dinosaur.
Brain breaks Mr. Freeze out the thing.
Right.
Yeah, man, that movie was good, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. What did the dinosaur?
You guys like that movie, ironically.
The Ice Age.
No, it's so sick. The movie's so sick.
Shut up.
Ice to meet you.
You guys are terrible.
That movie's so sick.
Oh, Arnold's
the
best.
Iceman cometh.
Okay, let's move on.
We have our second review.
We do.
Why don't we just review it?
Okay, how about we'll come back with that second review?
Okay, yeah, sounds good.
Okay, so we had a double feature this week.
It was hilarious.
And, Blade, what movie
did we see? I literally had a double feature, though.
Yeah.
I went an hour after.
Yeah. So, Blade, what other movie did we see this week?
So, this week, the whole crew decided to fill up the theater and see Tiger and Bunny,
yeah.
The Rising movie.
Yes.
So, this movie is about the...
And it was playing in our theater, yeah.
Yeah. The titular characters from...
Tiger and Bunny
from 2011, the TV show. And, as you know, we reviewed that back in the day and we enjoyed it. So, this is the second movie, actually. The first movie was called The Beginning, and it kind of rehashes what happens in the...
Series?
The series, and then adds a new story element.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a brand new story. And new character. And some new characters.
I think this would... If the previous movie was like an overarching look at the story of the series, this movie is kind of like an extended epilogue episode.
Yeah, yeah. So, in this movie, we found our heroes Tiger, or Kotetsu, and Bunny...
Barnaby
Brooks Jr. They are facing new threats of three next-powered people trying to recreate a childhood story and destroy basically the whole city.
Yeah.
And there's some new people in this. There's three new people who have powers, and a surprising addition to the Hero TV cast.
Mm.
Great Ryan, who is, I think, American?
He's awesome.
He just has the power of gravity, so he can make everybody fall and kneel. And
to kiss my boots.
To kiss his boots at an area around him.
Mm.
And, you know, we see almost all the characters from the TV show appear again.
Yeah.
Every major hero kind of appears. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you guys think? Oh, well, first of all, we went to the theater, and man, was it ever packed. I mean, there was at least 7 people over there.
You guys are hilarious. You're like, how many people are going to be here? And he's like, oh, well, you know, it's going to be like half full. We walk in there. We are the only ones there.
We're the only people there.
So for us, like, just our group, it was 7.
And then there was...
And then there was 2 people. And two
there's
people.
11 people.
In there's total. 11 people in total.
Yeah, in the theater. So we basically took up a row each. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But we got sweet posters. They always sweet posters.
Yeah, well, they
posters
did.
Posters are nice.
Yeah.
I was surprised they were on, like, the heavier card stock.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, what did you guys think about this movie?
Starting with
Vince.
Yeah, I really like Tiger and Bunny. I thought this movie was pretty good.
Yeah.
It felt like a really long episode. I wouldn't say it's like the best episode, but it's one of the better ones. It doesn't really do much. It's more like I need more Tiger and Bunny, and here it is. And that's how I felt about it. Like,
right.
It offers more of what you want, and there are some great moments to it. But it essentially boils down to... there's a bad guy, we're going to save the day and do it in style. And it was cool.
So there's a lot of product placement in this. How'd you feel about that?
But that was the original charm of Tiger Bunny.
That's kind of how the show works.
I know.
That's the whole point. Like, the whole premise is we are having a Hero TV and there are paid sponsorships. Yeah.
Man. Great Ryan was sponsored by Ben Presto.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. All right, Anthony, what about you?
I thought it was fun. I like this way more than Transformers. Like... way more.
I think that's a given, yeah.
Yeah. But if you've ever seen like a One Piece movie, it reminded me of that. Like, so they had like, it was like a, because they're both buddies, they had to, because they introduced Great Ryan, they had to like break up the buddy. Kind of like in the sequel to a buddy cop movie.
Or like 22 Jump Street.
Or like 22 Jump Street. Mm-hmm. They had that scene where they broke up the two heroes to go do something else, and they had to find each other, and then realize that they work best as a team.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, Great Ryan was a cool addition. I liked his suit. Like,
you liked his Phoenix suit?
Yeah,
his
like gold Phoenix suit.
Yeah.
That was sick. And his catchphrase, it's like da da. Then the gravity happens. That was cool. But it had a couple twists. Like, I thought Great Ryan was going to be an evil guy, but he wasn't. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is with this movie is that nothing really changed. Like, at the end of the movie, everything is back to square one. Like, nothing has changed dramatically. Like, so there's not going to be a season 2 of Tiger and Bunny.
Yep.
Where all of a sudden this movie made a huge change.
Yeah.
Right? They mention Ouroboros, which was the mystery evil clan in the original anime.
Yeah.
But they do nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
They just mention it by name a bunch of times, and then it turns out that the bad guys weren't even part of that.
Yep.
Yeah. But it was like you said, the best way to describe it is it was a long episode. Like,
yeah.
It was like a season finale or a season beginning.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was fun. I liked seeing the new powers.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I missed Tiger and Bunny. I like seeing Good Luck Mode again.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mirror your guys' sentiments. I really enjoyed this movie as well, much more than Transformers. And it was just a lot of fun. It's weird that I got nostalgia for something that's very recent. So that's the thing.
It kind of shows like how good that show was.
The number one thing, too, that I thought was that really stood out to me was that they explored Fire Emblem's sexuality.
Yeah, that was a bold move. I didn't think they were going to do it. But
yeah, because one of the characters is queer. And they have a whole segment where he has to face his inner demons about being queer.
Because of someone else's next powers.
Yeah, and it was awesome to see all that. It was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, in the TV show, you have this sort of... idea that the person's happy-go-lucky, but and it just seems like everybody accepts him, but he doesn't even accept himself yet. So
yeah.
And here is where they talk about that. And it's interesting that they picked him.
Yeah.
To focus on.
Yeah. No, like when you bring that up, yeah, it's the movie actually, it does deal with a lot of like personal struggle.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting. Like I do like last week I said I didn't like how movies generally have the sequel where they drive a wedge between two partners.
Yeah.
But for some reason I liked it in this movie because it's not that there was a driving wedge. It was more that Kotetsu knew he was past his time.
Yeah. He can only use his power for one.
And he was kind of accepting that. It's time for him to
move on
and yeah. become someone else. And I thought that was really interesting.
It wasn't because somebody artificially made them go apart.
Yeah, like, and when they reveal the whole, like, oh, you're just tricking Barnaby, and he goes along with it because he accepts that he's done being a hero or whatnot.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
That was also the same reason I liked their use of exploring the, what was his name again? The fire guy?
Lunatic?
No.
Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem, like, his sexuality, because there wasn't a point in the movie where I felt like, oh, if only they had a firepower, then it'd be perfect. Like, this is the only reason they're keeping him out. Like, it seems like they actually wanted to explore that side of that character. And that was really cool. Like, it didn't feel forced.
Yeah. True. So, yeah, what would you guys rate this movie, then?
I give it a 4, but I really like Tiger and Bunny.
Yeah, I give it a 4. It's just so sweet.
Yeah. Like, it. I don't think the movie hits the highs of the anime, but it's pretty solid.
Yeah, I also give it a 4. Like, if it did something more drastic with Ouroboros or, like, with the series as a whole, I'd probably give it a 5. But
mm-hmm. Well, there you go. See Tiger and Bunny, and don't see Transformers.
Yeah. If either your theater has it.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, that's true. We only had that one showing at that one time on that one day.
On that one theater in the whole city.
Yeah.
Also, if you go, you get free posters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the promotional item. Okay, let's move on. Picks of the week time. I'm going to open this one up quick. Legend of Korra, Book 3, has just aired, or begun to air this week as you're hearing this. Mm. However, they are, I can't believe it's taking them so long, but they're getting a video game done by Platinum Games, makers of Metal Gear Rising, Bayonetta, Vanquish,
and Wonderful 101.
Yep, and other such Japanese niche titles. It's going to be a downloadable game at a reduced price that's going to come out in the fall. When I heard that Platinum Games was doing this, I thought I was interested, but then I really thought about it and thought, nah, this game's probably going to be bad. Because the thing, I don't know, maybe you guys can have a different opinion, but what makes Platinum Games games like so interesting is that they have free reign on their own licenses that they're dealing with.
Yeah. Hair demons.
Yeah, or they're allowed to go as far as they want with, for example, Metal Gear. Mm-hmm. They kind of went beyond Metal Gear.
Yeah.
This is Korra. There's a definite tone and a definite audience that they're aiming towards. And I just don't think Platinum's combat alone is going to carry it. Usually they do it with style and flair that helps them. And one, this game, I think they've revealed this game is being developed in a year.
Whoa. Yeah, it's a quick
demo. And if it's just a downloadable game at a reduced price, that kind of tells you it's a budget game. I just don't have any faith in it. Like, I hope it's good, but
I read some stuff, like, GameSpot had an article on it, or just, like, and he said that, or the guy who covered it, he said he really liked the combat in it, but he really only got to check out the combat portions.
Right.
Like, there wasn't really any story sections, or, like,
yeah.
He did, I don't think he knew if it was, like, free roaming or not.
Yes. So. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'll check it out when it releases, but for now, I'm cautiously optimistic. Blaine, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is their announced Pacific Rim Dose.
Yes, they have.
2017.
2017?
Yes, that's what I heard.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that far away.
Yeah, so what am I going to be? I'm going to be 29?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Or you're going to be turning 29 that year.
No way.
I'll be 27.
17? Oh my god, I will be.
Yeah.
Man, I hope I'm a good-looking 30-year-old.
Man, I can't wait till when I'm 40 in 2040. Or 2030, and then I can go see Pacific Rim 3.
Ooh! But yeah, so apparently they're going to have a new one. I don't. There's not really a lot of details, but Is it Guillermo del Toro or Benicio del Toro?
Guillermo del Toro, yeah.
Okay, one of the del Toro said that they're going to have one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be sweet. Okay. I hope it's a crossover with Godzilla. They high five and stuff.
So, that's the interesting bit that got you?
What's the interesting bit that got you?
The fact that they announced an anime series before that.
Oh my god, never mind. I was hoping I would get through this whole thing without mentioning that.
I don't know how I feel about that, but it could be like the best thing ever or the complete worst thing ever.
It's really only one of those options.
Yeah, it's not going to be something middling. It's either going to be atrocious or phenomenal. Mm. So, I'm optimistic for those two.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Gypsy Danger.
I can't wait till, I can watch it, like, Japanese dubbed with English subs.
That's funny.
I
might just watch it in English voices, Japanese dubs. That's the original. That's OG.
Have you guys watched Pacific Rim with Japanese dubs?
No.
I want to see if I can... Wait, do they have a Japanese dub for Pacific Rim?
I would think so.
I'm going to look that up. I want to watch it like that and see if it's any good.
Hey. Who knows? It'd be fun to see him talk in Japanese, though.
I think it would.
Then they probably will make Mako's when she speaks Japanese into English. Because they reverse it. They reverse
it. That'd be so smart.
That's too smart.
Oh, yeah. And then because when Riley has to speak a little bit of Japanese.
And then that's in English.
That's going to be the English.
Oh! We're crazy.
This is good.
This is why we don't make movies.
Okay, yeah,
that's my pick of the week.
Anthony, what's your pick of the week?
My pick is about Jack White. He's the lead singer from White Stripes. He has his own solo album now. But he was recently doing a concert at Dublin's Royal Hospital. Kilimanjaro? And I can't pronounce that last name. And so he played a 25-song set.
Okay.
And at the end of it, the crew, he wasn't done his song. Okay, he still had like two more songs to go.
Okay,
the people who run the arena he was in just pulled the plug on him.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he's known for like having like these awesome shows, right? And so it's kind of crappy that they pulled on him. So what happened is that Jack White he's like, electricity, I don't need electricity. So he pulls out an acoustic guitar and does his last two songs with singing help from the crowd.
Wow.
Because he's just like, listen, the PA's gone. You know these songs. Just do this. And he kept them there for another half an hour. And just totally kind of said like a F you to the stage people. It was pretty cool. I've always wanted to go to one of his concerts. He always puts on like great shows. He also has like this policy he likes to do where he doesn't want anybody to have phones and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, at the beginning, you can take pictures and things, but while the music is happening, he asks everybody to put, like, iPads away, put phones away, and to just be in the moment and not be through your phone in the moment.
Yes.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. You are the hipsterest of hipsters.
No, you can't be. To be the king of hipsters, you can't be known.
Yeah. True.
But yeah, it was cool. I thought that was a really, really cool story, It's a very rock and roll thing to do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I suppose.
I suppose. Hey.
Okay, any other things you guys want to highlight?
No.
These cookies are really good. These chocolate chunk chips ahoys.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll take a cookie break and be right back.
Hello, listeners. Do you enjoy hearing Anthony talk about his digital dreams, Vince's plastic preferences, or my cardboard crack addiction? Well, we'd like to hear about all your pastimes too. Send us some letters at tniab.letters@gmail.com. After all, your letters are part of the coolest things in the world too.
Alright, so this week, let's see, I choose me.
What?
There we go.
That's cheating. That seems biased.
Mm-hmm. I do choose me to start off this segment of the show. I did two things this week. One, I rebought Gran Turismo 6. So last year I bought this game, and I kind of didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I traded in for, I think, Grand Theft Auto.
And you kind of didn't like that.
And I kind of didn't like that. Anyways, there was a mix-up at the store, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I bought Gran Turismo 6 for $5. And wow. Thought, that was a great deal. And I bought it because they just released their Ayrton Senna sort of update DLC that's completely free.
For people who don't know who is Ayrton Senna?
He is considered by many to be the greatest F1 driver of all time. He holds the record for... Actually, I don't even know if he holds records for anything, to be honest. Oh, he does. He has the most pole positions.
Oh, wow.
So, not the most wins, the most pole positions, which means that basically he was the fastest man on Earth.
Qualifies the best.
Yes. He probably would have had all the records had he lived, but he died tragically in 1994. Anyways, Gran Turismo wanted to do a special shout-out to him, so they've let you have his famous kart that he first competed with in Brazil, mm-hmm. his first Formula 3 car, and his famous Lotus race-winning car. And they task you with going around the three tracks that he did and trying to break all the records that he did at those tracks. And it is tough.
You just said he was the fastest man in the world.
Yeah. I was able to do the first two, but the last one is... I don't know. It is almost impossible not to do without one assist on. One assist on or two. And I don't know how accurate Gran Turismo's driving physics are to a real-life car, but they make you feel like you understand that these are not easy cars to drive, and you kind of get that. And I just thought it was really cool. I'm also playing Gran Turismo 6, and it is Gran Turismo.
Are you on the moon yet?
6.
No, I'm not on the moon.
There's a moon?
You can go on the moon. Yeah. You can race moonlanders.
Okay, so you remember my complaint with Gran Turismo 5, how they had, like, simple cars and premium cars? Mm. So they still have that in Gran Turismo 6, and I think they've announced they're going to keep that for Gran Turismo 7. But in Gran Turismo 5, they made it easy. All the new cars were premium, and all the used cars were standard. Mm-hmm. In this game, they just mix them all together.
I heard they kept all the cars in Gran Turismo 5 that were premium are still premium in 6, mm-hmm. but they tried to go back to some of the older cars to make them premium.
Yeah, so there's definitely more premium cars. It's just a lot more of a hassle to find out which cars are premium.
It's not just like a list that says premium?
No, because you have to go into like the car model like and up to the purchase screen.
Oh.
And then beside the car on the bullet points, it'll say interior, simple, or detailed. And if it's simple, it just means the inside of the car is black. And you get like a silhouette of a cockpit. So it's that one extra step that makes me be like, oh, God, enough.
List all the premium
cars. Yeah. The one thing I will say is they have the most extensive track list. They have like all the best real world tracks. And it makes racing not feel as repetitive. I don't feel like I'm going around the same place.
You don't want to race around the Nürburgring every single race?
No. I mean, I'm glad it's in there, but... No.
Okay.
So, that's cool. And that's really it. Gran Turismo 6, it's more Gran Turismo with more stuff. Cool. I also started and finished Gundam Unicorn, the OVA series.
Unicorn.
I thought there were like 6 movies.
7 movies.
So you did all of them?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, each episode's an hour.
Still, whoa.
And the last one is an hour and a half.
Whoa.
And it is your typical Gundam series. Teenage boy happens to find a robot.
What?
Gets in the middle of political nonsense and turns out he's the only one who can save the world.
Wow.
Yeah. I liked it. The Unicorn Gundams are really cool in action.
Are they a set of Gundams? Are there more than one Unicorn Gundam?
There's one Unicorn and there's another, a black Unicorn who's actually a lion.
Whoa, cool.
And they're really cool because they don't transform, they just shift and grow. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the Unicorn Gundam, but the Unicorn Gundam is all white, and he looks like a standard, like, very sedate robot. Like, there's nothing special about him, except for instead of a V-fin, he has a unicorn.
Yeah.
And then when he transforms, all his panels shift up and open, and he has, like, red lights that come out of him, and he grows in mass. His unicorn splits into the V-fin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool Gundam design.
Yeah.
And I really like that. It takes place in the main Gundam universe.
UC.
It takes place... If I got my timelines correct, it's about 20 years after Char's counterattack.
Which everyone's dead.
Yes. However, this man comes back who is masquerading himself to be Char. And he wants to redo the stuff that Char is all about.
Oh, Char. Still fucking shit.
Sure, the guy with the mask.
Yes. Okay. And I'll tell you right now, all masked pilots are the best pilots.
Yeah, man, that's a given.
Like, all of them.
That's a given.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you like Gundam, you'll probably like Gundam Unicorn. If you don't like Kira from Seed, you might not like Gundam Unicorn.
Whoa. Excuse me?
The main character is that super whiny, sort of, I don't want to be here, blah, blah, blah.
Is it like Evangelion bad? Is he Shinji Ikari?
He's not that, because okay. The thing is, his name is Banaja Lynx.
Banaja. Yeah.
I call him Banana, but...
Banana Lynx.
Banana Lynx. But he has this uncanny ability to, whenever he goes around to talk to people, suddenly they become the most philosophical, inspiring role models for him. And they just give him the best advice.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how he gets his character growth. I like that they're all philosophical, but the character growth does feel contrived and a little bit cheated when everybody around you is purposely being the perfect role model.
Uh-huh.
But by the end, he's cool. It does get a bit metaphysical, like 00, where they just mind fuck you to win the battle.
Good.
They don't actually fight.
I expected that, actually. They do that all the time in the UC universe because of
yeah.
New types. Is there new types in this?
So it's all about new types. Yay! And their place alongside human beings. And if they
new types are the people. Okay, so new types in the Gundam universe are the people who are better than regular.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
No, they are.
They just have a... I don't know if you ever noticed, but whenever you play a Gundam character in like Super Robot Wars or anywhere, you see this flash.
And it goes, ding!
In their forehead. That's their, like, Spidey sense. Only new types have that.
Yeah.
And the new types are Muro, Char.
Yeah.
The ones that people made.
Yeah.
The best pilots.
Yeah,
okay.
So,
yeah.
But they're obviously hated because they're different, yo.
Yeah.
And they kill everybody.
Yo, bro, this is our racism kick.
So that's basically where the political side of this OVA stems into. It's like, what are new types and
politics, yeah.
And should they be given the same laws and regulations that regular humans have? And
there's a lot of new types.
And that's basically the political side to it. My biggest problem with this OVA is that it is too long. There is not enough story to keep you going. But if you like cool robot fights, let me tell you, this is some of the best animation I've ever seen.
It's old school, too, right? It's like they're floating in space, thrusters to shoot, hiding behind debris.
Yeah.
But then I heard that Unicorn just goes god mode and just like wipes out everybody in the club.
Yeah, he does go god mode. And Unicorn has this like... So regular Unicorn is a regular Gundam, but when he goes
Unicorn mode.
Yeah, we'll call it Unicorn mode because that's basically what he is. The pilot and only new types can activate. They lose their controls, like their physical controls, and they just control it with their head.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's old school.
Yeah.
Like a Muro back in the day with his little fin funnels. He controls it with his mind, not his.
So control. I don't know, like, any if you know what psycho frames are.
Oh man, that's back too.
Yeah. So the Unicorn is special because instead of just like having like a bit of the frame, it's the entire Gundam.
The whole Gundam?
The whole Gundam's a psycho frame.
The farthest they've gone is the whole cockpit was psycho frame.
Yeah.
So psycho frame amplifies your new type's abilities.
Yeah.
That's what it does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was used in the Psycho Gundam originally.
Yeah.
And then it drove the girl crazy. Oh, it was in Zeta Gundam. But yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
Like if you have been keeping up with Gundam UC, you'll get a lot more out of this.
Good.
Like I haven't seen the original Mobile Suit Gundam. All I know is Char's counterattack and
I don't think you've seen Zeta, Double Zeta.
No,
all
no.
Part of it too.
No, I haven't seen that. So yeah, I've only really seen like Char's counterattack. The only movie that matters.
The end.
Yeah, the only movie that matters.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's not bad.
So if you're a Gundam fan, you're a Gundam fan.
Yeah. Like if you're a Gundam fan, you will love this.
So like me, who is hardcore into the UC universe,
will
just like this.
Yeah. I will say, if I were watching this as it came out, like over the span of 5 years, I probably would have been disappointed.
Oh, okay. But you just, one sitting.
But in one, because I was able to just do it at my leisure, I was satisfied.
So how bad do you feel for anybody in a battleship?
It's pretty bad, because they just die.
Yeah, they have nowhere to go.
Battleships aren't Gundams.
And they just get shot by the thing that's smaller than them.
Yeah.
And it kills them.
Yeah. It's so sad.
No matter what your ship is.
It's so sad.
No matter how many of you there are.
Yeah.
It's just a massacre.
Before we get off Gundam, so I've been in, like, chapters and stuff, and recently I've been seeing these, like, really nice hardcover manga. It's Gundam The Origin.
Oh, that's the original.
That's the original.
Is that the original?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's redone with some slight continuity fixes so that things line up properly.
Okay.
Like, like, some stuff they introduced later on in the series that didn't make sense to the original.
Yeah.
They're saying, like, that's probably the best way to explore the original Gundam.
Okay, because, yeah, those books look really nice, and, like, I read a couple mm-hmm. chapters in chapters.
Yeah.
And I did like it, yeah. So I just want to know what that was all about.
Yeah, I always wanted to read it, but then I took so long, they just announced that they're doing the Origin anime, so I was like, I'm gonna wait.
This is where you're gonna get, there's no Zaku boy. That's where it originated.
This ain't no Zaku boy!
That's where it originated.
Zaku sucks.
Well, then it isn't.
That's right. Because it's a goof.
What's a goof?
It's a goofier Zaku.
He's all blue.
It's all blue and he has like a Gatling on it.
That guy?
Yeah.
That guy's cool. I've seen model kits of him.
Yeah.
He's just a goof.
He's wow. a goof. Yeah. He's a goofier Zaku.
G-O-U-F.
What's the big... He's like a red Gundam, but he's also... He looks like a Zaku, but he looks like a General Zaku. He looks like the king of the Zakus.
Sazabi?
Maybe. He's like...
He has spin funnels in the back?
He's like maroon. I think he has a shield.
Sinanju, Sazabi.
I don't know names.
Nightingale.
What does the shield look like? Is it oval?
Yes.
Or is it... Does he have, like, one eye? And...
Yeah, he has one eye,
He has two eyes?
He has one eye, and this one's, like, covered, or it's just gone, or he just doesn't have it. He has, like, one eye.
Does he have, like, a snout?
I don't think so, no.
Man, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll find it.
He has, like, one of... His crest is, like, two branches with a bunch of leaves on them going out.
I think it's the size
of... Oh, my God, no! He's talking about the Zeong. The Zeong. You wanted to build him.
No, I'm talking about the Neo Zeong.
Oh, yeah, but...
The Zeong?
Yeah, but is this the one you're talking about, Anthony? Fun, yeah, so this is it, right?
No.
What?
No, okay, no, I gotta look it up.
Yeah, anyway, go on.
I gotta find it.
Neo Zeong? Why him?
Because he's huge.
Oh, yeah, that's the old one. No, hey. That's the new one, sorry. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So, man, UZ Gundam Universe, sweet deal. That's
yeah,
awesome.
I really...
Do you want to go back to it?
I really want to watch Zeta.
Yeah, so there's Zeta. I mean, TJ and I really enjoyed Stardust Memory.
Yeah, I still need to watch 8th MS Team.
That one's the best, because he literally beats a goof with his hands. He rips off his own arm, and then smacks a goof down with it. Yeah, it's good. It's good. They're all good series.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, wow! Cool, I'm excited to see it now.
Uh-huh. Yep. Anthony, is it this one?
Yes.
That's the size of... He doesn't have two eyes. You suck.
No, I said he had one eye.
Yeah, but you...
Yeah, but you were like, he has...
He has one eye,
and then the other one's, like, gone.
There is no eye there. Oh. It's a full visor.
Oh, okay.
Left and
right. I thought
yeah.
it was, like, the eye was gone.
No. So that's Char's suit.
Obviously.
Okay. That guy's cool.
He's in the...
He's a masked pilot. Of course he's cool.
This is Char's counterattack. See, the thing with Char is that in Zeta... He this is how he disguises himself. He puts on a pair of glasses.
Yeah, with the long hair?
Yeah.
He has the aviators on?
Well, not aviators, it's like a visor. But yeah, and then they think it's somebody else.
Yeah.
When it's clearly him. And all his suits are painted red.
Yeah.
Compared to everybody else, too. They're like, huh, could it be him? He's like, no, I'm not him. They're like, okay, I guess you're not.
Yeah.
You just seem to have all his tendencies.
Yeah. Gundam Unicorn does the same thing.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see this now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time.
Okay, then. That's my week. Anthony, what's your week?
My week, I was watching speedruns.
Oh, God,
so,
this.
Summer Games Done Quick was on.
Oh. No.
I watched this morning.
Oh, did you?
I watched Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, okay.
That was a snooze fest.
That was a long run. That is a snooze fest.
How long was this short run?
Seven and a half hours?
7.5.
You guys watched that?
I didn't watch it.
I watched the last 10 minutes.
I got clips and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I always, like, there was, like, Metroid Prime runs. Those were sick. So, like, Summer Games Done Quick and Awesome Games Done Quick, they're a charity event that these guys put together. And speedrunners come, and they start broadcasting on Twitch. And they have different donation goals for each game.
Yeah.
And then 100% of the donations go to Doctors Without Borders.
Cool.
Which are a charity group that help out people overseas and in poor countries. I learned that they actually won, like, a Nobel Peace Prize for their work and stuff.
Uh-huh.
it's for a good cause, but, like, there are some crazy speed runs. And it's really cool, like, just to see improvements from last year and stuff. One of my favorite runs is obviously the Ocarina of Time run.
Uh-huh.
And, the last one I watched, it was, like, he just got under 20 minutes. Like, and so, but now the record is like, 1820 or, like, 1830. Mm-hmm. So they shaved a whole minute off it somehow, and I was like, how did they do that? I learned Super Mario 64 runs are super technical. This guy did a 120 star run.
Wow.
In about an hour and a half.
Wow.
And it is, like, every single thing this guy does is, like, insane technical, and he has to do it for an hour and a half consecutively.
Mm.
Like, there are some areas where he just never stops side jumping, and he side jumps to a wall jump to a side jump, and then he hits off a Goomba, and then he wall jumps again, and then he's at a star, and I'm like, how did you do that?
Wow.
Yeah, and it's really cool. There's but there are some games that are more boring than others, like speedrunning an RPG or something.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. Oh, the Metroid Prime run was Metroid Prime 2 Echoes. That was the one that surprised me the most. They were able to get, like, Screw Attack? They were able to get Screw Attack in, like, 20 minutes. They got the Light Suit without ever beating any boss. They could go outside the level.
Whoa!
They can go outside the level and force loading to happen so that a room would load and they would just drop into it.
Whoa!
Yeah, and stuff like that. It was really, really cool. Those runs were the biggest surprise for me.
Do they just sit there and do it on their spare time?
Yes, yeah, so, like, a lot of these people have, like, jobs and stuff, and then, like, they don't really play any video games other than those ones. And they just practice and practice.
Would you guys do this?
If I could find a game I liked, like, maybe. Like, I was thinking of doing...
No, I wouldn't.
I was, like, trying to do... I managed to glitch out Mario 64, because there are any percent runs, and those any percent runs are fast.
Yeah.
But, like, I've managed to do... There's a infinite... So, when you go to the last Bowser, if you don't have enough stars, you keep going up the stairs forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Mario 64. Well, there's a glitch where you long jump, and then you start going backwards, and then keep mashing the jump button, and you continuously gain speed forever for as fast as you go. And eventually... You go so fast that the game can't keep up with resetting you, and you just go into the third Bowser.
I've done that.
Yeah, it's really fun. And there's another one where you can side jump into a corner on the first door, and you can go up to the second floor.
Yes.
And you just kind of up your ledge there.
Yeah. So, like, in these speedruns, what if they mess up at one point?
If they mess up, they have ult strats. So it's like, oh, I messed up here, because this was a hard trick, but the ult strat now is to do these set of moves to get me back
on
track.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's like, there are very few occasions where they're just like, we're done.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, though, if they mess up and they have to use an alternate strategy, they are not going to get the optimal time.
Right. Yeah, it is usually significantly slower because they made that mistake and then they have to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really fun. That happened, like, all week. I think they raised $500,000.
Nice.
Through charity donations.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. I didn't watch any of these, but I did find out that if Super Mario, in the first Super Mario for the NES, if he ran from World 1-1 to 8-4 without skipping, that's 5K.
Huh. Oh.
So there you go.
What? So, yeah. So Mario's not that in shape.
They have a measurement scale for the...
They game? Did. They measured... They took his height and proportion to... how fast he could run versus how fast he's moving past objects, and I figured out from World 1-1 to 8-4 is 5 kilometers.
What the hell?
So, next time you guys run 5K, pat yourself on the back. You just did Super Mario Brothers.
Did you also see that someone found a new glitch in the original Super Mario Bros.?
To make it even faster?
No, just for infinite lives.
Oh, I saw that one, but there is another guy who just broke the record to make...
Oh, really?
To make it faster.
Oh, I gotta see that.
Yeah.
The Infinite Lives one, I know. I don't believe in. Do you know it?
No.
It's cool where you need two players.
Yeah.
So you get Luigi to level 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Luigi, that's
right. Or no, Mario. So you get Mario to level 1-2.
Okay.
And then as Luigi, you play until like 5-2, I think. And you get this beanstalk. And when you get the beanstalk, it's right near a hammer bro. So while the beanstalk is growing, you get hit by a hammer bro and die. But the beanstalk's still growing. So when you go back to Mario in World 1-2...
Yeah.
The beanstalk grows through the beginning of the level, and there's a beanstalk where it shouldn't be. So you jump on the Koopa that's there, and you hang on the branch, and you'll keep hitting it and getting points until eventually you get infinite lives.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, how do people figure this out? This game is like 50 years old.
Well, that's why it took, like, 20 years. 27 years, I think?
Yeah. That game's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, people are crazy. Yeah. And then I bought a game on the Steam sale. It's called Mitsurugi.
Here we go.
Kamui Haike.
Oh, my God.
It's a doujin game from Comic Hat.
Why?
And this is fan-made. And it's pretty much a Devil May Cry clone. It's an arena-based hack and slash and beat 'em up, kind of.
Okay.
The plot is like paper thin. You play a high school girl who is also a kendo master, and then your master owns a demon sword that he's entrusted to lock away, and then your best friend takes the demon sword, gets possessed, and kills your master, and you have to go find who your best friend and kill her. And then you have, like, regrets because she's your best friend. How can I kill my best friend? But I must avenge my master. It's, like, super lame.
How much is this game?
It's like $4.
Wow. Wow.
It's $10 regular.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
But the combat portion is a lot like Devil May Cry. And it's a very... you can cancel animations into things. And that's pretty much
it. Is it like Devil May Cry, or is it the poor man's Devil
May Cry? It's a poor man's Devil May Cry.
It's not Devil
May Cry. But it's more like the Japanese Devil May Cry than, say, the new DMC.
DMC.
And it's fun. I like it. You get souls, you level up. So when they have just hand-to-hand combat, there's sword combat, and then you have, like, holy arts. So whenever you use your sword, a meter goes down. You have like a sword meter, and you can't use it infinitely. Mm. Whenever you use holy arts, it takes out a big chunk, and those are like super special moves. Like I do the stereotypical thing of my sword comes out of the sheath for 1 second, and then the screen in front of me fills with slashes, and stuff like that. And the hand-to-hand combat refills your sword gauge. And then also the one thing about this game is that when you hit enemies with a sword enough, they can go into a bleeding state. And they start flashing red.
Okay.
And there is one button dedicated to this. You press, at least on the PlayStation controller, it's L1. And you take your sword, whip it on the ground, blood goes on the ground, and then do the thing where you slowly put your sword back in the sheath. And then when it chinks, they all go, oh, and they like, bleed everywhere. And it's like a finishing move.
Wow.
So you can do that to like a whole crowd of people, and that's really fun.
This is Anthony.
Yeah.
I like it. It's fun. It's a fun little... It got me through my... Like, I wanted more character action. I didn't want to play through Ninja Gaiden again. I didn't want to play through Devil May Cry again. So, this was something new and cheap.
Why don't you play God of War?
It's not... They're not... Those aren't as technical as I want. pretty much, this is to tide me over until Bayonetta 2. And I'm like, then I'll get that.
Just play Bayonetta 1.
But I platinumed it already. I beat it, like, 7 times over.
So you can't play it for fun?
I played so much of that game.
What happened to you?
I broke like at least 60 hours on that game.
Trophies ruined you, man.
Trophies have ruined me, dude.
You can't play games for fun anymore?
That's why I'm trying to max out this sphere grid.
Oh man, that's crazy. Sniper Elite 3.
I've been playing Blitzball, man. You know how crappy that is?
It's the best.
Blitzball sucks.
It's the best.
I finally got Waka's celestial weapon.
See? Because Blitzball's good.
But I'm almost done.
Blitzball hates you!
I just got like 3 more tournaments in Blitzball to go. And then I gotta beat all the Dark Aeons.
Wow.
Dark Aeons hate you!
Dark Aeons are stupid! So I beat 3 of them. I beat Dark Onyxian, Dark Ifrit, and Dark...
Balefor?
Balefor? Oh, okay. Balefor. And, but like everybody after that, you need like at least 80 luck stat.
Yes.
And on the regular board, there's only enough for you to get, like, 30.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I tried to face Dark Yojimbo, and, like, even with 255 accuracy and 255 evasion, he still OHKOs me, and he still dodges every single hit.
Good.
And the thing with Dark Yojimbo is that you have to face him, like, 3 times in a row, or, like, 3 or 4 times in a row.
Oh.
Because you find him in the Cavern of Stolen Faith.
Yep.
And when you fight him once at the end, but then as you're going back and trying to make your way out, you fight him in different areas, back at full health, and you cannot use a safe sphere. If you use a safe sphere, it resets the whole encounter.
Good.
Sucks.
Nice.
So yeah, I beat Nemesis, the final monster creation.
Oh man, no way, from Raccoon City?
Yeah, from Raccoon City. He's just chilling. He took the form of an Ultima Buster or something. But yeah, I cheated for that. I just used Zanmato, and I'm like,
okay.
I'm like, Yojimbo, here's all my money. OHKO this mofo. And he's like, okay. Strang.
Good. Good.
Anything else? No. The grind is real.
Okay.
The grind is real.
So, Blaven, I believe you have another movie you want to speak about
that yes.
you
saw this week? I saw the movie All You Need Is Kill.
All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah, so this movie is actually called Edge of Tomorrow here.
Okay.
So it's actually based on a novel called All You Need Is Kill.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And what nationality do you, or what country do you think that novel is from?
All You Need Is Kill?
All You Need Is Kill.
I have a feeling it's from the J-Pan.
It's from the J-Pan. It is from the JPN.
Okay.
And I was like, how am I not surprised with a title like that?
Yeah, All You Need Is Kill? How could it not be
from Japan? How could it not be from Japan?
If it wasn't from Japan, I'd be disappointed.
Right?
Yeah, if someone said, that's Canada, I would be pretty sad.
When they said,
I'm moving.
When they said, based on the light novel, All You Just Kill, I'm like, oh, I can't believe it's a Japanese thing. I'm like, oh, believe me, you just assumed that it was Japanese. How racist are you? And all right, it totally was. So this movie is by Tom Cruise. He plays a recruit. I forget his name again.
Is he like a politician?
Yes, he's an advertising guy
for the
government, and he gets sent into battle because of certain circumstances.
Yeah.
And as he's in the battlefield, he gains a power to reset the day.
Yes.
And he just goes and dies over and over again, getting better and better each time. And he enlists the aid of Emily Blunt, who is the Angel Verdun or whatever. She's just a lady who is very good
at
fighting.
With a particular set of skills.
Yeah. But she also had this power that Tom Cruise had before, but she lost it.
Oh.
And so they both, the humans in the movie are wearing these sort of exoskeleton frames,
mm-hmm.
and they use in the battle, and they kind of remind me of, what was that show that, whatever, they were just like exoskeleton frames, and they had guns on the back and everything, and machine guns on the arms and whatnot. And their goal is to beat back the alien invasion. So, I thought this movie was going to be so sick just from the premise.
Yeah.
Because I love the whole Groundhog Day kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where you relive the whole day and try to do it all over again the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, when I saw this movie is sick.
So, it was just like what you thought it was
going to be? It was so sick.
Okay.
Basically, the gimmick of reliving the day was, in my opinion, very well done. It was interesting to see how he would handle different people's temperaments and different people's opinions about him over and over again. And it's amazing how quickly the right set of words or the right set of actions can just sway people.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it goes to show how some people will just, no matter how hard you try, will never change their way of mind.
Yeah.
Certain parts of the movie, the first he says to someone, we've had this conversation like 40 times before, and you always do the same thing no matter what I try. And then when it finally does happen, that he gets his way, Emily Blunt asks, what now? And he says, I don't know, I've never gotten this far. Like, what do we do, right? Yeah, it's really cool. The movie's really well done, and I really had a fun time watching it. And it didn't drag on for too long. It didn't make you relive the day over and over again and get tired of it. It started, so let's say they relive, like from 1 to 10, they relive, you know, the whole day 1 to 10.
Yep.
But then they start going 8 to 10, then mm-hmm. 5 to 10. And, you know, little by little, but it shows you little bits of the little differences each day to show you what's changing.
Mm-hmm.
And the transformation of Tom Cruise from a cowardly officer... Into Tom Cruise is pretty sick.
Okay.
So, yeah, this movie is really cool. Definitely recommend it. The effects are kind of... they're okay. The aliens called Mimics are pretty cool to watch. They're quite unique kind of aliens.
Okay.
And it was really, really cool to see how basically they reset the day, but they also have a time limit on how many times he could die and like do this over and over again before it has to stop.
Mm.
Or before They have to do something. They can't just keep being in this infinite loop. So it's interesting how they have to get out of that. And of course, I mean, Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise. He's always charming and always cool. Yes. And basically, he's like how he is in MI. Like, Mission Impossible. He becomes cool, collected, and he says all the right things all the right times.
Kind of thing. So, it's amazing, Tom Cruise. How he can give off that aura.
And then just take it all away.
No, I mean, like, and then in real life you hear stories about how he's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, so if I were to recommend one movie to see this summer, it's a toss-up between this and Godzilla.
Godzilla?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, this movie was so sick.
Wow, okay.
This movie was very, very good. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, okay. Yeah, no, I want to see it. I just don't want to pay for IMAX
prices. It's done in IMAX. Oh, it's not in regular.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can have a chance to go regularly now.
Okay,
Tuesday regular.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that you guys will be missing out if you don't see it.
Okay,
yeah.
Like, it's that good, I think. You will all enjoy it.
So, question.
Yeah.
From what I've seen of the trailers...
Yeah.
Tom Cruise's day resets whenever he dies.
Yeah.
Is that the only way they reset?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. Because he can't... The rule they have is no matter what you do, make sure you die.
Okay.
Because if you get... Let's say he gets injured critically and he can't move, that's the end of it. He can't die, right?
Yeah.
They'll put him in intensive care and then he just sits there and does nothing, right? So he has to die.
Mm.
And most of the time it's just him getting shot in the face.
Okay.
By Emily Blunt. But there are some other times where he dies in pretty unique ways.
Right.
So
the other thing is, you said Emily Blunt's character used to have the power.
Yeah.
And she lost it.
Yeah.
How does she know she lost it if the only way to know you have it is to die?
Sorry?
You said she lost it, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, if I still have it, you'd have to kill yourself or you'd have to die in some way to see that you were set.
Yeah.
How does she know she lost that power?
This is a spoiler?
Oh, it's a spoiler? Okay, never mind.
Or, just look at it this way, it could happen. She could have had the power earlier on in her life, and she's always just at this moment now.
No.
Oh, I know what you're trying to say. How do you know that you can't do it anymore?
Yeah, how do you know that you can't Groundhog Day anymore?
Right.
Yeah,
So, Tom Cruise kind of briefly explains it. He says, like, you know, I can feel I can do it, kind of thing.
Oh.
I guess, spoilers then, fine.
He says.
Here's a spoiler.
Movie magic.
Yeah, it's a spoiler here.
You can tell me after.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, yeah. Never mind.
That was just an interest question.
Or you could just watch the movie.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a really good movie. I really, really highly recommend it. It's really cool.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really unique premise. I think it's one of the more unique ones we've had in a long time. Groundhog Daytime thing. So, and it wasn't... I usually get frustrated when people don't believe the person, but after a while, Tom Cruise just doesn't give a crap.
Yeah.
He just does what he has to do every
day. It's like, I know what's right.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
It's good to hear.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely recommend it. Go check it out.
Cool. Yeah. Anything else this week?
I've been on a hot streak of Magic.
That's good.
Undefeated. And then it got broken today.
Ooh.
So sad.
Oh my god.
Someone stopped you.
Yeah, man. I was at a 7 win streak.
Oh. Ugh. Well, you know what they say. I don't know.
Win streaks will be broken.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that what they say? I don't know. That's what they say now.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's my...
All right, cool. That's the end of the show, too.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. And we'll see you guys next week when we have our review of...
I don't know.
Is there even movies out?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we're done.
A 5 mile run.
I think we're done. I think we're done with the review season. That's it.
We have a few coming up. We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
We have
Guardians
of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
But that's in August.
Yeah. It's basically soon. Yeah.
Yeah, no. So next week is just reverting back to the regular stuff.
Yep.
A lot of
money spent on movies lately.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot
of blockbusters.
That's why, I don't know, summer's expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so glad video games don't come out during this period of time.
I'm disappointed video games don't come out this period of time. I need something to do.
Steam sale. Steam sales got your back.
I don't play PC Master Race.
Steam sales got your back.
Yeah, I don't.
Just
do
pick
that.
Up Minecraft and go play Legos.
I don't.
Build Gundams in Minecraft.
That doesn't appeal to me.
Build Minecraft and Gundams.
Oh, boom.
No, that doesn't appeal to me.
What is that figure you made, by the way?
What?
Is it a Gundam?
Nope.
What is it?
It's a giant war armor.
From?
Nobunaga the Fool.
Oh. I was unfamiliar.
Yes.
Cray cray.
Yes, it's a Kawamori designed robot. Okay.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yep.
See you guys in 1 week's time.
See you. Are you serious? What are you doing? Stop it.
Go, guys.
You're the worst.
Good. Just have a little bit.
It's a slippery slope. I can't
do it.
It's
so good. Just take a little bit. It's not going to hurt
Vince
you.
Vince is going to have one too.
It's not going to hurt you.
Yeah. It's going to hurt me.
It's not going to
hurt
you.
I'm already losing weight. Just leave it alone.
Listen, one cookie is not going to make you put on that extra 10 pounds.
It is.
Just.
This is the 10-pound cookie.
It's not. Yeah, it's not the cookie. It's all the cookies you'll have after that. Because yeah. That'll be a gateway cookie.
Just practice bulimia.
All right, let's go.